Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. The great shepherd of the sheep. Isn't it wonderful to have a weekend to be together just on this matter of the great shepherd of the sheep?
¿Acaso no es maravilloso tener un fin de semana juntos en este asunto del gran pastor de las ovejas?
So that we could get a commission from him.
Para que podamos recibir right. una comisión de parte de él.
That we could cooperate with him in his heavenly ministry to shepherd the sheep.
Que podamos cooperar con él en su ministerio celestial para pastorear las ovejas.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Alabado sea el Señor.
So we've seen this matter of shepherding in John's writings and in Peter's writings.
Vemos este asunto del pastoreo en los escritos de Juan y de Pedro.
And how that, you know, it's such an important matter in John's writing.
Es un asunto muy importante en los escritos de Juan.
Right. And it's such an important matter in Peter's writing.
También en los escritos de Pedro.
But we also see this in Paul's writing.
Pero también vemos esto en los escritos de Pablo.
But what I hope we can see tonight is not just what Paul wrote.
Lo que espero que veamos esta tarde no es solamente lo que Pablo escribió.
But I hope the Lord would do something so that he would open up Paul's heart and we could see inside his heart.
Espero que el Señor haga algo de modo que nos abra el corazón de Pablo y podamos mirar dentro de su corazón.
And we could see in Paul a model of someone who was a duplication of Christ as the good shepherd.
Podemos ver en Pablo un modelo de uno que fue una duplicación de Cristo como el buen pastor.
Now, when we hear of the apostle Paul, what do we think?
¿Qué es lo que pensamos cuando escuchamos de el apóstol Pablo?
I think many we might think of a great man.
Quizás pensemos en un gran hombre.
Or perhaps a great intellect. You know, hardly anybody can understand what Paul is writing. It's almost like his thoughts are so big and they're so fast that nobody can really grasp what he's saying. Or we might think of Paul as the most spiritual man.
You know,
had so much great revelation. Right? And that he was the one who the Lord had given experiences that no one else had ever had. And he was even given the stewardship to complete the Word of God. Okay, when you hear all this about Paul, you would think this must be somebody quite important.
Right? Right.
Quite stately.
Right.
If he walked in the room, everybody would be really impressed. But you know, 2 Corinthians can be considered as Paul's autobiography. It's like this is the book where he's opening up his heart. And what is so surprising that what you find in 2 Corinthians is a man who is so emotional. Yeah. Typically we think a man should not have any emotions.
Right.
Right. But Paul, he is overflowing with emotions.
Pero Pablo está rebosando sus emociones.
Right. He's telling him, when I wrote you the first letter, I thought it was too hard, so I wrote it through many tears. But when Titus came back and he brought good news, I overflowed with joy.
He's just...
You know, we have a saying in the United States, he's wearing his heart on his sleeve. Because it's just like his emotions are so manifested. And this gives us an insight into his person. Paul didn't consider him someone to be so high and so great. You know, someone who is high and great. I don't believe they would ever have such an emotional display.
Right. exhibición de emociones.
He would always have to remind us, no, 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 I have to remind, remember, I'm prestigious. So I have to conduct myself in a certain way. But it seemed like Paul forgot all about himself.
Pero parece como si Pablo se hubiera olvidado de sí mismo.
Because his heart was so occupied with all the believers.
Porque su corazón estaba muy ocupado con todos los creyentes.
His heart was so moved by the condition of the saints.
Su corazón se conmovía con la condición de los santos.
That he forgot all about being Paul the Apostle. And his whole being was it was just occupied with the condition of the saints.
Todo su ser estaba ocupado con la condición de los santos.
Right. And Paul, in 1 Timothy, Paul said that the Lord had raised him up to be a model or pattern for the believer.
Primera de Timoteo dice que el Señor lo levantó para ser un modelo, un patrón para los creyentes.
You know, I think we would also, I would like to be a pattern of the great Apostle Paul, you know. Could raise up churches everywhere. And write great epistles. But could we follow his model as wanting to be a nursing mother? Okay, this is the man who could write great epistles. Right. Because the Lord could use him to speak these things. Because all his inward parts, all his heart was completely occupied with the good of the saints. With the benefit of the churches. So with that man, God had an open channel to provide revelation. So could we all, could we all learn to follow the model of this Apostle Paul? Not the great man. But the man who was willing to put all his greatness aside to take care of any believer. May the Lord give us the grace that we could enter into Paul's heart. Okay. Amen. Okay. Okay, let's all read point one. Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to read the verses. This point is based on. I'll read them in English, and if you remember, we'll read them in Spanish. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great Shepherd of the sheep, in the blood of an eternal covenant, perfect you in every good work for the doing of his will, doing in us that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Right.
Okay. So as it says in the outline, that God brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great Shepherd of the sheep. So in the book of Hebrews, Christ is presented to the one who is great. And greater than any figure in the Bible. Greater than any matter. He's the great high priest.
Right.
He's the one with the greater ministry. Who established a greater covenant. But when you come to the end of this book,
pero cuando venimos al final de este libro,
this marvelous, all-transcendent Christ,
este maravilloso que lo trasciende todo,
he is the great
es el gran
shepherd of the sheep.
Pastor de las ovejas.
He came as the shepherd of the sheep.
Él vino como el pastor de las ovejas.
Have you ever seen a shepherd?
¿Alguna vez han visto a un pastor?
A shepherd is not somebody like a CEO. He spends all his time taking care of a bunch of sheep. This is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Este es el Señor Jesucristo.
He came as the shepherd.
Él vino como el pastor.
He came as the shepherd to seek the lost sheep.
Él vino como el pastor para buscar a la oveja perdida.
And he could say, I am the good shepherd.
Y él pudo, le podía decir, yo soy el buen pastor.
Who lays down his life for the sheep.
Que pone su vida por las ovejas.
And the sheep know my voice.
Y las ovejas conocen mi voz.
And they follow me.
Me siguen.
Okay. So this was his ministry on the earth.
Así que este era su ministerio en la tierra.
He came as the shepherd, the good shepherd.
Él vino como el pastor, como el buen pastor.
Okay, but here,
pero aquí,
we hear that after his resurrection,
vemos que después de su resurrección,
after he had ascended to heaven, the heavens, after he was inaugurated to be Lord and Christ, as the one who had received all authority in heaven and on earth, who is he? He's still the great shepherd of the sheep. Right. You know, I for a long time in the back of my mind, I had a really funny thought. Because, you know, in Hebrews 1:3, it says that he accomplished the purification of sins. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, somehow in the back of my mind, I had this thought. He sat down. So what is he doing? It's been 2,000 years. Yeah. Okay, probably nobody ever had this a dumb thought. Is it like he's been sitting for 2,000 years? What is he doing? Okay, because I think we all kind of had a thought, when his work on earth was done, he stopped. His work was over. Okay, according to redemption, yes, his work was over and he sat down forever.
Sí, en base a la redención, su obra se terminó y él se sentó para siempre.
But now he's more busy than he was on the earth.
Pero ahora él está más ocupado que cuando estaba en la tierra.
Today he is shepherding all the sheep.
Hoy él está pastoreando a todas las ovejas.
When he was in his ministry, he had 12 he shepherded all every day. And he shepherded so many people he contacted. But today,
pero hoy,
how many hundreds of millions of people does this great shepherd shepherd every day? How busy is he? He has to be occupied with every one of our problems. And he's been doing this for 2,000 years. I believe he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And now, you know, in his earthly ministry, he came to find the sheep. But now in his heavenly ministry, on one hand, he lives forever to intercede for each one of us. And then as the shepherd of our souls, as the pneumatic Christ, he is doing everything to apply all the blessings of the new covenant to each one of us. And to work out all the bequest of the new covenant. To save us to the uttermost. He is really busy these days. He's not up there taking a break. No, he is in his ministry. His heavenly ministry to shepherd the flock. Right. Okay, this is what he's doing today. Okay, shepherding us in resurrection. And as it says in point three, mainly as this shepherd, he is bringing us to eat. You know, what a shepherd does almost all of his time, he's just bringing the sheep to eat. And the main job is for the shepherd is to have the good food, the good pasture for his sheep. Now, all the days, the Lord is leading us to good pasture. Every day, he is leading us to eat. God as our good pasture. Right. And this is the dispensing of life. Right. On his side is dispensing of life. On our side, it's to eat. A sheep's life is to eat. Amen. Okay. In point B, it says, God raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead to be the great shepherd to consummate the new Jerusalem according to God's eternal covenant. Right. So God raised him up from the dead in the blood of an eternal covenant. Through the death of Christ, God has made an eternal covenant. This eternal covenant is what Christ is accomplishing as the great shepherd of the sheep. So every day he is shepherding us. To bring us where?
Para llevarnos a dónde?
Yes. He is shepherding each one of us into the New Jerusalem. One day you will be in the New Jerusalem. One day I will be in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Right? He is shepherding us into the New Jerusalem. You know, I heard somebody make, I got this book, someone describing what it really is to be a shepherd and to have sheep. Okay, and it said the main characteristic of sheep. They're really stupid. They can't do anything without a shepherd. I read one time, if there's a fence and there's a corner, if the sheep walks into the corner, he's stuck. He can't figure how to get out. So the shepherd has to come and say, okay, turn around. And now you can be okay. Okay, does that sound familiar? He is our great shepherd. And in spite of ourselves, he will shepherd us into the New Jerusalem. Okay. I'm going to read, okay, point 200b. The eternal covenant is the covenant of the New Testament. To gain a flock, which is the church, issuing in the body of Christ, and consummating the New Jerusalem. Right. Okay. Let's go. We'll keep going. Point C. Christ is the great shepherd through whom God, based on his redeeming blood of the eternal covenant, perfects the sheep of God, the churches. In every good work, for the doing of his will, doing in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Right. That's verse 21 of chapter 13. So now, in this shepherding, he is perfecting us. Not as a great teacher. Not as a university. As our shepherd. He is working every day to perfect us in every good work for the doing of God's will. Okay, and listen to this. Doing in us that which is well pleasing in his sight. You see, that is his shepherding. He's perfecting us. Doing in us that which is well pleasing in his sight. Doesn't that take care of our need? This is his wonderful, all-inclusive shepherding. Amen. Okay, let's read points 1 and 2 under C. Amen. So on one hand, he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. On the other hand, as the pneumatic Christ, the life-giving Spirit, he is perfecting us and doing in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And this corresponds to Philippians 2:13. For it is God who operates in you both the willing and the working for his good pleasure. Why are you here tonight? Why, after all these years, are you still a Christian? Why, after all these years, do you still love the Lord? Why, after all these years, do you still want to build up the church? Is it because you're just that good? No.
No.
It's because our great shepherd is shepherding us every step of the way. Doing in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. To me, that's a big source of confidence.
Para mí, esto es una gran fuente de confianza.
If it was up to me, I'd be really worried.
Si dependiera sobre mí, yo sería
muy preocupado. But it's our shepherd.
Pero es nuestro pastor.
He is doing in us that which is well-pleasing in his
sight. Él está haciendo en nosotros lo que le agrada.
Okay, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go on to point. Let's read point two.
Vamos a avanzar al punto Romano 2. El apóstol Pablo es un modelo de lo que es con los santos y en comparación con los papíferos, y esto lo está en su ministerio.
And let's read point A.
La letra Pablo pastoreó a los santos con una lógica y como un padre en un solo.
Okay, so let's read verse 7. This is First Thessalonians chapter 2. Actually, verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children, yearning over you in this way. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became beloved to us. Can you touch Paul's feeling? Do you think a great man would ever talk like that? No, he forgot all about being somebody great. He was just like a mother with their newborn child. Only thing that mattered to him was the condition of the saints. Right. Paul and his co-workers regarded the believers under their fostering, regarded the believers as children under their fostering care. Just as parents care for their children,
así como los padres cuidan de sus hijos,
fostering their growth,
fomentando su crecimiento.
So the apostles cared for the new believers. So, this was the apostles' work, to take care of children and to foster their growth. And that word fostering is a very kind of a rich word. It means to promote the growth. It means to cherish. It means to nourish. It even means to just to give food. It means to encourage. So their ministry was to exercise this kind of care for every believer.
Okay.
And this is the church life. Right? This is the atmosphere of the church life. Right? Like you said, it's not a police station. It's not a court. Right? It's a home with nursing mothers and exhorting fathers with a burden to foster the growth of every believer. Right. You know, this is the kind of thing that takes place in a home, right? Okay. The church life is our home. Right. And the home is the place where the children feel safe. right? It's the environment that fosters their growth. This is the church life. Right? That's why in the church life we feel safe. We feel guarded. Protected. Right? Kept in a good environment. Right? The church life is a shepherding life.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Paul considered himself a nursing mother who nourishes and cherishes her children. Taking care of them in a tender way. Paul's care for the new believers was full of tenderness. If Paul had never written these words, okay, this is just my funny thought. I don't think you could get any brother to come up here and say anything like this on a platform. But this was Paul. Would it, do you think a CEO would ever act like this? I mean, I've been around a few. They want to get everybody away from them so they're not bothered. But Paul didn't care about any of that.
Pero Pablo no le importaba nada de eso.
He was willing to sacrifice his stature as the apostle of Christ.
Él estaba dispuesto a sacrificar su estatus como el apóstol
de Cristo. To come down to the level of every and any believer.
Para rebajarse al nivel de cada creyente.
Okay. All right. Point three. Paul also likened himself to a father who exhorts his children.
Pablo también se comparó a sí mismo como un padre que exhorta.
In cherishing the believers, exhorting his children. Okay, this word exhort. Okay, and let's read the verses. It's that's 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. Just how you know we were to each one of you. Okay, each one of you. As a father to his own children.
Como un padre para sus hijos.
Exhorting you and consoling you and testifying.
Exhortándolos y consolándolos y dando testimonio.
So that you might walk in a manner worthy of God.
A fin de que anduviese como es digno de Dios.
Who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
Que os llama a su reino y gloria.
Okay, this word exhort.
Esta palabra.
Sometimes we think the word exhort could be kind of harsh. But in the Greek, this word is almost the same as consoling. It's an exhortation that is only positive in sense. But Paul being very emotional, he wouldn't just stop with this word.
Él no se detuvo con esta palabra.
He had to say exhorting and consoling.
Él tuvo que decir exhortar y consolar.
So it's like a father in a family.
Entonces es como un padre en una familia.
You know, the mother is full of this all-inclusive, tender care.
La madre, right? Está llena de cuidado, todo inclusivo y tierno.
But the father has his function.
Pero el padre tiene su función.
He needs to exhort.
Él tiene que exhortar.
And to exhort the children to grow up in the right way. But it's not a harsh exhorting. It's nothing of threatening, nothing of any kind of condemnation. It's an exhortation based on a positive belief that the children can become those people.
Creyendo que de forma positiva que los niños pueden llegar a ser eso que él espera.
Yes, I exhort you to walk in this way because I believe you can walk in this way. I believe this is who you are. So when Paul's saying, exhorting them to walk in a manner worthy of God. Sometimes you go, oh man, I've got to walk in a manner worthy of God. I don't think I can do it.
Right.
And his kingdom and glory. Okay, but Paul's feeling was, I want to exhort you because I have the absolute confidence the Lord will do that in you.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's a fostering. Right. Every family needs this kind of fostering, exhorting father.
Right.
Right. Well, praise the Lord. Paul could carry out these functions. He could be the nursing mother to give the tender care. And he could be the exhorting father who would cause the believers to develop step by step into a walk that is worthy of God. Don't you have the feeling that Paul's spirit is just excellent? It's something so pleasing, so warm, so good. Okay, this is the church life. And this is Paul as our model for shepherding the sheep. And we can all aspire to carry out this shepherding life. Okay. You know, I can tell you, I've been around a long time. I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages.
Right?
And I hardly remember any of them. But I remember every person who showed me this kind of care.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, this is the tender shepherding life that builds up the church. Right. And it causes the church to be the place where the sheep can lie down in peace.
Right.
Right, that's what you know. Ezekiel said, "When this is fulfilled, the sheep will lay down anywhere without fear." Right, and that was a prophecy for the church life. Right, okay. May the Lord bring us all right in every one of our places. Our church life could be such a home. Right.
Right.
Amen. Okay. There's point B. Let's read point B. Okay, so the book of Acts gives us a record of how Paul spent 3 years with a local church. So what did Paul do during 3 years among the church in Ephesus? Right. I mean, what would you picture the apostle would do?
Right.
In this church. Okay. Let's read some verses. Okay. The first is Acts 20, verses 19 and 20. Paul said, serving the Lord as a slave. With all humility and tears and trials, which came upon me by the plots of the Jews. How I did not withhold any of those things which are profitable by not declaring them to you and by not teaching you publicly and from house to house. Okay, so Paul is saying for those 3 years, he served as a slave with all humility and tears. How about if some really important brother were to come to Malaga? And he came and he served for 3 years with tears. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and then verses 27 and 28. We can read just verse 27. It says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God. So as Paul was going teaching publicly, and also going from house to house, that meant there was not a house in the city, in the church in Ephesus, that he did not visit. He felt like his reasonable service was to go to every house and to visit every saint and to declare to them all the counsel of God. Can you see Paul's person? I think if I was Paul, and I'm sorry to say this, I'm glad I wasn't the Apostle Paul. I might have been busy trying to prepare something to go have a conference somewhere. But the great Apostle Paul, he wanted to be there house to house. Right. Okay. And then verse 31. Therefore, watch. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. Can you believe that? I mean, it's written in the Bible. He said, night and day for 3 years. Admonishing each one with tears. Can you imagine such a person? Okay, I think if we would have been in the church in Ephesus for those 3 years, our hearts would have been melted. Right. Right. Get somebody. Hey, how many times is he going to come to my house? And every time he comes, he's so concerned about me. And he wants to exhort me, even with tears. He cares that much about my little spiritual life. Okay. This is the pattern to the believers.
Este es el modelo para los creyentes.
Right. not healing multitudes.
No sanar multitudes.
Not doing great miracles.
No hacer grandes milagros.
Right. Not carrying out great campaigns.
No llevando a cabo grandes campañas.
But serving as a slave.
Sino sirviendo como un esclavo.
Night and day. To visit every saint in the church.
Para visitar a cada santo en la iglesia.
Okay. If a brother will do that, he is a real elder.
Un hermano hace eso, él es un verdadero anciano.
And please don't ask me if I'm a real elder. I'm already too convicted. I mean, okay. Point C. Let's read point C. Okay. So I believe here this may be the real burden of the message. This is from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is the autobiography of Paul. And it's where Paul opens up and we can see in his heart. Okay. And Paul was a person, his heart had been enlarged. Okay. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 7, 2 and 3. Make room for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you. For I have said before that you are in our hearts. For our dying together and our living together. The saints were in Paul's heart. Okay. Okay. And then in chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. Our heart is enlarged. And it says, but for a recompense in kind, I speak as to children, you also be enlarged. Okay, so Paul said he could shepherd the saints in Corinthians. Even though they were in such a bad condition. Because at that point, the Corinthians were starting to question Paul. Some Judaizers had come. And they were trying to turn the church in Corinth away from Paul. And even later in the epistle, we start to hear there were accusations coming out against Paul. And that Paul had raised up that church. For Paul, they were his children. And now it was like they were almost turning against him. But Paul could say, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. That means no matter what you do, my heart will not change. Right? No matter if you accuse me of trying to get money out of you, because that's what they did in chapter, I think, 12. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you will always be in my heart. Okay, so it's a big thing if our heart can be enlarged. Okay, do you know what it means for your heart to be large? Okay. Maybe not, but it's easy for us to know what it means for our heart to be small. In my natural condition, my heart is just barely big enough for me. And a person with a small heart is a small person. And if somebody says something I don't like,
algo que a mí no me gusta,
maybe I'll never speak to them again for the rest of my life.
No le vuelvo a hablar por el resto de mi vida.
That's a small person.
Una persona pequeña.
Right? But Paul was a person, his heart had been made large.
Pero Pablo era una persona cuyo corazón había sido ensanchado.
Right. That no matter what the situation,
sin importar cuál fuera la situación,
no matter what the reaction,
sin importar cuál fuera la reacción,
no matter what the person we're trying to shepherd says,
sin importar lo que la persona que le intentaba pastorear dijera,
no matter what they do,
sin importar lo que hicieron,
it doesn't affect our heart.
No afecta nuestro corazón.
Okay. I mean, could you imagine someone?
¿Puedes imaginar a alguien?
Maybe he's so good he had done everything for you. Provided everything for you. And then you would just turn away from him. And do so many things against him. And then no matter what you did, he would still just, I'll forgive you. And no matter what, you just, if you come back, I will receive you like everything's fine. No matter what you do, you always have a place with me. And no matter how badly you fail, I'll still believe in you totally. Okay. Could you believe there is a person like that? We have to believe there's a person like that. We're here tonight because there is a person like that. No matter how badly we fail, we come back, and before we can say, I'm sorry, the Lord, sorry for what? Everything's fine. And he always, no matter how disappointed we get with ourselves, it's like, I'm not bothered in the least. I believe you're going to do just fine. Okay, God's heart is broad. Right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Right.
Right. So that anyone who would believe would have eternal life.
Okay.
Can you see? His heart is large. Okay. And Paul had this heart duplicated in him. You know, again, if it had been me in his place, and after doing so much for the church in Corinth, they had turned around and just said things and done things like that. Okay, I know where I'm not welcome. I'll head somewhere else. But Paul's heart was just not like that. You know, that's how parents defeat their children.
You know.
No matter what you do, no matter what you say, I'm still going to love you just the same. And if they don't give in, then later on they will give in with tears. Right? Okay, that is the shepherding heart. It's the shepherding life. So we need to pray that the Lord would give us a large heart. Lord, give me a heart big enough that it can hold all the saints. Give me a heart big enough to receive all the saints with all their problems. And I believe this is just me, but I think my first step to having your heart made large, it has to get emptied out.
Like,
emptied out of what? No, really, it's emptied out of who. Because typically, I'm just talking for myself, my heart is too occupied with this problem.
You know,
if I could get rid of him, I'd have room for everybody. Because we get involved with ourselves and our problems. I mean, even our problems, why I'm not going on enough with the Lord, right? Why can't I be the brother I think I ought to be?
Right.
And we're just all caught up with that. And we're trying to shepherd ourselves. And we're trying to do something about this awful condition. And the more we try to do, the worse it gets.
Right.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it started off this big. By the time we try to take care of the matter, it's as big as a mountain. And it occupies us. But there's something that can happen. And it's really mysterious. If I could just put that aside for a minute,
you know,
and I could just be concerned for the saints. And I could be concerned for their growth in the Lord.
Right.
I could be concerned for their church life. I could be concerned for them to go on. There's this really mysterious thing that happens. All of a sudden, that mountain disappears. While I was trying to take care of it, it was just getting out of control. But when my heart is occupied with the saints, it's always like, whatever problem I had, it's covered up. And it's almost, I think I've had the feeling, if it's like the Lord saying, okay, if you will take care of the saints, if you will be genuinely concerned for what is good for them, if you will really seek for what will help them go on, if you will do that, if you will take care of them, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And all of a sudden, it's gone from my unreliable hands into the stable, sure hands of Christ. So we should be emptied out of us and our problematic little world. And get out of that little universe that rotates around me. And enter into this other wonderful realm called the body of Christ. I don't care about what's happening here, but I really care about what's happening with the saints.
Right.
And instead of coming and getting on my knees and agonizing in prayer for God to somehow do something about me, instead, we would kneel down and we say, Lord, what I really care about is the saints would go on.
Right?
What I really care about, would the church be built up?
Right?
You could use me, you could not use me. That doesn't matter, but I really pray the church would get built up. When we do that, we get transferred into another realm. And I think if we could get into this realm like Paul, I mean, maybe we would find out our heart could be as big as the body of Christ. And to have our heart enlarged is the secret for how to shepherd people. Right. because having a heart that can hold them and their situation.
Porque tenemos un corazón que puede sostenerlos a ellos y su situación.
Okay. Okay, so this is having a heart that is enlarged. Okay, let's read point one.
Leamos el punto uno.
Under C, right?
Yeah, under C.
Yeah, bajo la C. Todos nosotros necesitamos ser enlazados en nuestros corazones, siendo reconciliados plenamente con Dios. Entonces tendremos una vida que ministra, una vida que puede llevar mucho fruto.
Okay, so here the outline makes some appositions. It puts things together. Okay, having an enlarged heart and being fully reconciled unto God. Because in 2 Corinthians, one of the functions of the ministry of the new covenant is the ministry of reconciliation. And that is to be fully reconciled from everything else back to God Himself. Which is the same as being fully reconciled all the way into the Holy of Holies. Where there's absolutely nothing between us and God. That we need this ministry to work in us. And we seem to pray, Lord, reconcile me to God. So that I can have this ministry of reconciliation for others. Because if I'm not reconciled all the way back to the Holy of Holies, I can't bring anybody else there. So it'd be so good to pray, Lord, reconcile me. Not for me, but reconcile me so I can have the ministry of reconciliation for all the saints. The ministry of reconciliation is the ministry to be able to bring everyone from where they are all the way back to God. Isn't that a wonderful ministry? Wouldn't you like to have that ministry? We all would like to have that ministry.
Okay.
We can all have that ministry. And I really think, Lord, work it in me. So that you could use me as such a minister for the good of all the saints. I believe if we pray that prayer, the Lord will do it. So to have this life, we need to have our heart enlarged, which means we have been fully reconciled to God Himself. And that actually means we've been brought to full maturity. Okay. And under point A, under one. Okay, yeah, we can read it. Sure.
Si hemos de tener una vida que se acomoda a todo, necesitamos tener un corazón ensanchado, un corazón que recibe a todo el pueblo de Dios.
Okay, so if we have an enlarged heart,
tenemos un corazón ensanchado,
if we are fully reconciled unto God,
estamos plenamente reconciliados con Dios,
we have an all-fitting life.
Tenemos una vida que se acomoda a todo.
And this is a phrase Brother Lee came up to encapsulate this matter with Paul. If we want to shepherd others, we need an all-fitting life. That means it's a life where I can fit into any situation. I don't need any particular treatment.
No.
I don't need any kind of treatment.
Yo no necesito que me traten de cierta manera particular.
I don't need I don't need anything.
Yo no necesito nada.
I can just fit into whatever situation will take care of the saints.
Puedo acomodarme a cualquier situación siempre que cuide de los santos.
If I have food,
si yo tengo comida,
if I haven't eaten for a day,
si no he comido por un día entero,
if I have a good place to stay,
tengo un buen lugar para quedarme,
if I don't have a good place to stay,
si no tengo un buen lugar para quedarme,
if those saints receive my care,
si ese santo recibe mi cuidado,
they say they don't want to ever see me again,
si dicen que no quieren verme más,
no matter what the situation does not matter.
No importa cuál es la situación, no importa.
I can fit whatever situation there is.
Yo puedo acomodarme a cualquier situación en la que ellos estén.
As long as the saints can be brought back to God.
Siempre que los santos puedan ser traídos de regreso a Dios.
Okay, this was the Apostle Paul.
Así era el apóstol Pablo.
He's talking about, you know, he was given his credentials for being an apostle.
Okay.
Okay, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me see if I can read. And it starts with verse 21. He's comparing himself to the super apostles. These ones who thought they were really somebody. The super apostles who thought they were really somebody. So Paul is going to give his credentials. Okay. By way of self-disparagement, I say this. 21. I'm going to skip down to verse 23. Ministers of Christ, are they? I speak as being beside myself. I more so. In labors more abundantly. In imprisonments abundantly, more abundantly. In stripes. In excessively. In deaths often. Under the hands of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeys often. In dangers of rivers. In dangers of robbers. In dangers for my race. In dangers from the Gentiles. In dangers in the city. In dangers in the wilderness. In dangers in the sea. In dangers among false brothers. In labor. And hardship. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. This was his credentials for being an apostle. This was the proof of the genuineness of his apostleship. This was the proof he had really been sent by God. Okay. This is an all-fitting life. A life that can go through any situation.
Una vida que puede pasar por cualquier situación,
any suffering.
Cualquier sufrimiento,
for the carrying out of the ministry.
Por causa del cuidado del ministerio.
Right. The ministry of shepherding the saints.
El ministerio de pastorear a los santos.
So Paul could suffer all these things.
Así que Pablo podía sufrir todas estas cosas.
What happens with we're walking down the hall and somebody doesn't say hi to us? Forget this. We need the all-fitting life. Right. Okay. This is the life for the building up of the church. Okay. And Paul was not a marvelous person. Actually, if you look into his history, he wasn't a good guy.
Right.
He said he was the greatest of sinners. And he said that because he was the greatest of sinners, the Lord Jesus had raised him up to be a model for the believers. So we shouldn't put Paul up on a pedestal. The point is not Paul. The point is that all fitting life that operated in Paul is in you. Right. So we have this all fitting life in our spirit. And we can live that all fitting life in the church life to carry out the ministry of the new covenant for the building up of the body of Christ. And I believe that is the highest enjoyment of Christ. If we're living this life, then every day it's the good land.
Right.
Praise the Lord for an all-fitting life. Okay. Let's read point B under.
Nuestra meta no debería ser que lleguemos a ser grandes personas. Hubo algunos que fueron considerados grandes hombres.
Amen. I really believe if we could end our life as a small person with a big heart, we are blessed. Amen. Okay, let's read point two.
En segunda de Corintios 7, vemos la preocupación íntima de Pablo por los creyentes.
Okay. And let's read point two.
Es posible que llegamos a ser muy versados en las cosas espirituales y poderosos en la predicación y aún así, no de los frutos. Además, al pastorear a los santos, es posible que marquemos a otros. La razón de esta muerte, de esta infructuosidad, es la falta de una preocupación íntima. Okay. Al pastorear a los santos, lo que necesitamos es la preocupación íntima propia de una vida que ministra. En 2 Corintios 7, Pablo fue muy emotivo debido a su preocupación.
Okay. Okay. So here it talks about the intimate concern of the shepherding life.
Okay.
And that is the secret for how to shepherd people. You don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to be capable. If you have an intimate concern for the saints, you can shepherd them. And from my experience, I think I can say, there's nothing worse than being shepherded by someone who does not have a concern for you. You know, I was before they shepherded me, I was okay. After they were done with me, I was finished. The secret for taking care of people is to have an intimate concern for them. Okay, and there's Philippians 2, 19 and 20. Okay, it says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged by knowing the things concerning you. For I have no one like-souled who will genuinely care for what concerns you. Okay, and here where it says like-souled,
aquí donde dice del mismo ánimo.
Okay, That meant that would have the same soul as me, the Apostle Paul. He said, out of everyone there, there was only one person who had the same soul as him. And what was that soul? He will genuinely care for what concerns you. Okay, that's the intimate concern.
Esta es la preocupación íntima.
Right? So, we should pray, Lord, make room in my heart. That I could have such an intimate concern for all your children. If we have this atmosphere in the church, the church is almost already in the New Jerusalem. Right. Yeah. So we should pray for that.
Right.
We shouldn't just admire somebody who experienced that. We should pray, Lord, do it with us. Make our church such a church. And make us all these kind of people. Okay. Probably I need to finish up before too long, huh? 30 minutes. I won't take that long. Okay. Okay. Well, since I have a little more time than I thought, I want to mention something that Brother Lee shared.
Okay.
When he was sharing about the God-ordained way and going to contact people, he talked about the way to never stumble anyone. I have 10 minutes more. Got it. Oh, okay, I am way behind. Okay. All right, so make it really quick. He said, if you want to never stumble anyone, speak to them according to their spiritual age. And never forget that a new believer is a babe in Christ. He said, if you always speak to them as a babe in Christ, they will never be stumbled. Right. And if you're not sure where they are in their Christian life, go ahead and talk to them as a babe in Christ. Okay. Paul came down to the weak ones level so that he could gain them. Okay, let's read point one.
En 1 Corintios 9:22, Pablo dice, me he hecho débil a los débiles para ganar a los débiles. Esto significa que deberíamos ganar a nivel de los débiles. Y esta es la manera de pastorear a las personas al visitarlas.
So Paul could become like whoever he was trying to shepherd.
Este Pablo podía asemejarse.
And he never asked people to come up to where he was. Someone who's great, he would have to keep his prestige. But Paul was willing to become whatever, he was willing to become weak. He would become all things to all people that he might gain some. If we have this kind of a life, we can shepherd people. Okay, let's read point two.
Pablo también dice, a quien se le hace tropezar y yo no hago, esto es arde e indignación y tristeza por aquello que causó el tropiezo de los que cayeron. Esto nos muestra que el modelo de Pablo, buen pastor en su cuidado del rebaño de Dios.
Okay, And this is point 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. It says, apart from the things which have not been mentioned, there is this, the crowd of prayers pressing on me daily. The anxious concern for all the churches.
Okay.
Do we have an anxious concern for all the churches? I think it would be a blessed life if we could say that we have this kind of a life. Okay, but then Paul says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who has stumbled and I myself do not burn? So he said, if someone else is weak, that makes me feel I'm just as weak. And if he heard that someone got stumbled, he would burn. I mean, he would burn with indignation and sorrow. Yeah. Because he had that concern for every believer. Amen. Okay. Okay, let's just read point E.
Pablo, como uno que amaba a la iglesia en unidad con el Cristo que ama a la iglesia, estuvo dispuesto a gastar todo lo que tenía, refiriéndose a sus posiciones, y a gastar todo lo que era, refiriéndose a su ser, por causa de los santos, a fin de edificar el cuerpo de Cristo.
Amen. Okay, so I'm out of time, right? Okay. Okay, then kind of make a really short condensation of point three. Okay, this is about Ephesians 4:11-12. Okay, so let's read point three.
En Efesios 4:11-12, Pablo dice, Cristo mismo dio a unos como apóstoles, a otros como profetas, a otros como evangelistas, a otros como pastores y maestros, a fin de perfeccionar a los santos para la obra del ministerio, para la edificación del cuerpo de Cristo.
Okay, so the point of this whole section is, God has given gifted members. Apostles, prophets, evangelists.
Apostles, profetas y evangelistas.
And then shepherds and teachers. But he gave them to perfect us.
Pero él nos dio para pastorearnos a nosotros,
to perfect us to do the same thing.
Para que hagamos la misma cosa.
To perfect us to be the apostles.
Para perfeccionarnos, para que seamos los apóstoles.
To be the prophets, those who prophesy.
Para que seamos los profetas, aquellos que profetizan.
To be those who can preach the gospel.
Aquellos que pueden predicar el evangelio.
And to be those who can be shepherds and teachers. You know, in the first, it started off talking about how Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, perfects us unto every good work. But here it's talking about he, through these gifts, perfects us unto the work of ministry, of the ministry. So, yes, he's perfecting us.
Sí, él nos está perfeccionando.
And this perfecting can produce in us all the functions of the gifted members.
Y este perfeccionamiento puede producir en nosotros todas las funciones de los miembros dotados.
The Apostle Paul was an apostle.
El apóstol Pablo era un apóstol.
He was given to perfect us.
Y él fue dado para perfeccionarnos a nosotros.
To perfect us to be the same as he was.
Perfeccionarnos para hacernos igual que era él.
Perhaps we won't ever write any epistles. But in all this life that he lived as a duplication of Christ as the great shepherd. He was given to perfect us.
Él fue dado para perfeccionarnos.
And we can all be perfected to carry out the same ministry. We are all ministers of the new covenant.
Todos somos ministros del nuevo pacto.
We are all ministers of the New Testament.
Todos somos ministros del Nuevo Testamento.
Each one of us has our part of the New Testament ministry. And we need to have that regard for our portion. Right. We really need to have that view of ourselves. As someone redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. As someone born again with the life of God. Who is presently under this process of being perfected. Under that perfecting, all the capacity of this divine life is being developed in us to become our ministry. To become our capabilities for carrying out the ministry unto the work of the building up of the body of Christ. Yes. Okay. So I hope if we didn't get anything else tonight, we would all realize I can be the same as the Apostle Paul. That life that Christ duplicated in Paul, he can duplicate in me. And I can live this all-fitting life to shepherd the sheep of God's flock. Praise the Lord.
Alabado sea el Señor.